Have your Bible tonight. If you'd look at Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read some scripture to you, share a couple thoughts, and then just end with, you know, four little things to help you think about. I always think about the beginning of the year to implement some change that we desire in our lives and in our families, the things that we're called to. And I believe that God is always helping us when we make ourselves available to Him to help us get to the place where He has called us to be, to achieve the dream maybe that He's placed on inside of us, to see the destiny revealed that we were born with. And I was struck this week when I heard someone say that we're almost midway through the second month of the new year. That just boggles my mind. Does that boggle anybody else's mind? Or I'm just so cognizant of time and how it just keeps on moving and running. And I want to do what I'm supposed to do. And I want to be what I'm supposed to be. And I want to accomplish what I'm called to accomplish. And as I pondered that, I thought that you can have all the dreams. You can have all the vision. You can have all the desires. You can have all the hopes. But if you don't put any movement in that direction, if you don't put any diligence towards what your desire, what your dream, what your vision, what your hope is, you will not get to that. It doesn't just work if you find yourself in a crisis. You know how many people I talk to on a regular basis who find their lives in a crisis moment and then hope everything is going to change? They want what they want then, but they forget that to achieve your dream, your goal, your life that God has called you to, it comes through daily decisions, like you being here tonight. So, I mean, I went home for a few minutes before I came back tonight. I always go home. I like the shower. It just refreshes me. And I sat in a chair for 5 minutes. I was drinking a cup of tea. I'm still feeling beat up. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, I am beat right now. And then something just came over me. Said, you got to get up, not just because I do this. Because to be honest with you, I could have called anybody to come and do this tonight. I could have got Chris again to do it. He would have done it in a heartbeat. Right, Chrissy? Amen. I could have called Ryan. He could have come up here. I could have had Brother Chuck come up here. Chuck could have done it, hands down. But I need to be here for me because it's what makes me into what I'm called to be. Do you get that tonight? So you just don't come to church because, oh, you know, I got to go to church. I go to church because, number one, I believe that I'm going to hear something from God. It's going to make me better. It's going to help me to grow. It's going to, like Ryan said, praying to, it's going to help me love my wife more. And maybe even something in it will help her love me more. Amen. I hope so. Number two, I come because I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I want to speak into somebody else's life. I thought for a fleeting moment tonight when Ryan said, just look at somebody and tell them you're safe here. I looked down at my little grandson, Andrew, and he looked at me. He mustered up all the diligence and the passion he could. He said, you're safe here, Poppy. You know what I thought of then? I went back years ago when I was living in the back of my pickup truck. I went back, and I don't know why it came to me right then when he said that. He said, you're safe here. I went back to the time when I used to drive down in the backfield on the farm that I worked on that we own now. I used to shut that door up on the back of that cap at night and have that little battery-operated light up in the back of my truck. And I would pray and I'd say, God, if you're there, if you're who you say you are, people are telling me about you. You got to help me. I don't know what to do. I thought about that moment and I thought, I could have stayed hung up in that place. I don't know where I'd be. I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't met my wife. She is next to the Trinity in my life. I mean, she is my, I got to be careful, it's Valentine's Day coming up. But I got to thinking, what would have happened in my life if I hadn't have gotten up out of that and pushed through to what God has called me to? And I've talked to people all week this week that, and I tell them, you have to make the decision. You know, sometimes I think that people, they want somebody else to try harder than what they want to try. And it doesn't really take sometimes a lot. You know, a turtle will make, he'll make the distance because he just takes little steps and keeps on moving in that direction. You don't have to make big steps overnight, but you have to make a step in that direction. You have to. You can't get what God has for you by asking everyone else to pray for you. You also have to learn to pray for yourself. You can't get the promises of God from other people that carry their Bible and maybe know it. You've got to learn it. You got to do some things. You got to open it up. You got to take it in to be a part of who you are. You got to maybe get into a class, get into a Bible study. Do that. Make that a part of who you are in your life. And you'll watch your life begin to change and begin to move in a direction that you never thought. Chris was just telling me today, we were talking in my office. He said, when I first started reading the Bible, when I was in jail, he says, I didn't believe it. I didn't understand. He said, who is this guy that raises people from the dead? That can't be true. But he said he kept on reading it and kept on reading it and kept on reading it. And guess what happens? You know, if you hit a rock hard enough, long enough, sooner or later, that rock is going to break. And you got to just keep on doing and being who and what God has called you to be to get to where he has destined you to be. Every one of you, you were born with a destiny on your life. And God loves you. And I'm going to talk about it on Sunday, that you are loved. God didn't have to love you. He didn't send his son into the world because he had to. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. So God loved you. All right, that's the message before the message here. I want you to look at this verse of scripture. It's very familiar. I want to read it because there's some things in here I just helped to shape what I want to say to you tonight. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, I want to begin. I'm reading out of the New International because it just has a couple ways that it says things that I didn't find in any of the other translations. And it starts out in verse 21. When Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles. People were following him. They loved to see what he could do. This was no exception. Then the Bible goes on to say in verse 22, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And so Jesus went with him. This is an astounding story because something happens in the middle of what he's going to do that he didn't at the point here of the beginning. Really, the base and the body of the story begins out. He's heading in another direction, but then something else happens. And the Bible says, and a large crowd followed him and pressed around him. Verse 25, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. And because she thought, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. And verse 29 says, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body. Now look at this phrase, and if you don't have the NIV that you're reading out of, you can look up on the screen. It says, she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Very important point right there. Very important. She felt first. Something took place in her life first. Verse 30, it says, and at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd, and he asked, who touched my clothes? I've read this scripture 5,000 times, and every time I do, still I get giddish about it. Verse 31, the disciples said to him, you see the people crowding against you, and yet you ask, who touched me? And Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, verse 34, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And look at what he says, what we read in just a few moments earlier in verse 21. he says it, and they say it in the same vernacular because it means the same exact thing that she said. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I just want to talk to you tonight about an attitude of being determined, because I believe that two bookends of our lives are held together by determination and being determined. Now, really, I'm not going to be long tonight, but I want you to hear me, because I believe for some of you, this could be a key that opens that door in your life. And a lot of times we can talk about a dream, and for some, it gets people excited, and there's a spark that happens on the inside. I have a dream for my life. I have a dream to get married. I have a dream to have children. I have a dream to have a business, have a job. I have a dream to be a great husband or a great wife or a great father or a great mother. But sometimes when people just talk about the dream, it can be also depressing to them because they had something in their heart at one time, and for whatever reason, something came along and it robbed that from them. It took that from them. And when you talk about it, it can add hurt because they feel like something that they had at one time is no longer a part of what their life is now. And all these take place in our lives, but God's word is faithful to us, and it's the word of God is faithful to the diligent that pursue it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So we have a promise from God that says, I'm going to give you a future. I'm going to give you hope. This is the nature of God. This is the heart of God, that he wants to give you thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And this is the word that we need to receive unto our own life, that we do have a future, we do have a purpose, and that if we'll allow him, God wants to be right in the middle of it. But then something else enters in here in Hebrews 11:6, that the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to walk by faith. And I like this. This just came. We have to merge our faith with the promises of God, our dream, and the truth of God's word. We have to merge that. And as I was typing this out today, I was thinking about last week driving in Los Angeles traffic. If the devil lives anywhere, he lives in the highways and the byways of Los Angeles. Everything about it is merging. And I thought about this today, that sometimes when we allow issues and challenges in our life, we step away from believing that God can do something in the vision and the call and the dream and the plan he has for our lives, because we see a backup, we see an issue in front of us, and we think, I can't go in that direction, because if I do, it's going to take energy, it's going to take commitment, it's going to take things that I don't think I possess. But the Bible says we have to merge our faith with the promise or the dream that God has in our lives, and allow him to work in and through us when we do. You can't see everything that he wants to do in your life, and you can't wait until you do see it, because if you do, you wouldn't need him to do it. The rewards of God are given to those who, the Bible says, diligently seek him. Everybody say that word, diligently. So what do you want to see in your life? How big is your want to and the decisions that you want to make in your life? And what are the circumstances that you're facing that are hindering you from that? There are time to time that we're going to have a determination if we're going to see the fulfillment of what he has called and created us to be. And I like being around people that are determined. If you don't know me well, if you do know me well, you know that's true. I love to be around people that have their mind made up and they are determined, that they are willing to go and face change and willing to pay the price to get the promise of God released into their life. And I don't care who you are, or what you've come from, or what you're going through, or even how you're feeling. I mean, I care how you're feeling, but God says, I can lift you out of that. I can give you a better life if you'll be diligent and passionately pursue him and add your faith with the promise of God. You're going to see things happen in your life. And Jesus has these powerful encounters with people. As we read the story in the book of Mark, we see the encounter that humanity meets with divinity on that road that day. It's so powerful. The Bible says in Mark 5:24 that Jesus went with him and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Do you know the place that you want to be in life? And you may be here tonight and you say, I don't even have a vision and a dream. Can I tell you something? If you'll pursue the Lord, He'll put where you're supposed to be in your heart. I was just telling somebody today, I never had a dream to do this or to be this. I had a dream to help people. All I want to do is help people. I'm not the greatest preacher or the best orator. This was God's plan. But I had a dream to help people. And He follows you in life and He pushes you in that direction to release those things of what He has for you. And the story begins in this encounter. And he starts out with a ruler of a synagogue going to help his sick daughter. And he doesn't even make it to that until somebody gets the attention of him in this crowd by being diligent and pushing through where everybody else says, you can't get to. You got to remember this woman, 12 years with this issue. She was a cast out. Nobody wanted to be around her. She couldn't go to the synagogue because she was deemed dirty. She was deemed unfit. She was deemed all these negative things. Every connotation of bad was circling around who she is as an individual. And the last place that you would think that she could go is to be around the Master, the Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who was doing miraculous things. But yet she makes this decision that she's going to press through. You know what? You want to know why? Because she had traveled. No doctors could cure her. Nothing could help her. And you know what? The older that I get, I find out that there's an element of healthy in that when all of your resources and all of your back plans and backup plans have failed, and there's only one way to go, and that's towards Him. It's not the most fun place to be in, but as I looked at my little Andrew tonight, he said, you're safe here, Poppy. I thought, my goodness, did I like going through what I went through? No. But is it worth it right now? Oh, my goodness. You better believe it. Come on today. This woman had a problem that even got worse. Worse and worse. Labeled. Rejected. Hurt. Scoffed at. And she makes the decision. Hear this now. Nobody could do it for her. She made the decision. You don't read in that scripture where somebody said, come with me. Nobody sent her a note in the mail, text her. Nobody sent her a Facebook message. Nobody called her up. She made the decision. Hear me. Listen. You got to make it. You have to make that decision in your life. We're not robots. You make the decision. And I'm determined to make that decision. I can't make your decision, though. You have to make it. And the Bible says she gets closer to Jesus and she realizes that there is a crowd around him and it's going to take some maneuvering to get there. And she had to reach through the crowd, through the opinions of others. I don't know if you are like me, if you've stopped in life a few times because you were concerned about the opinion of others. I have. But she, I'm sure she was. But there, again, it comes to a time where you're not going to stop because of an opinion of somebody else. And she thought, if I can only get a hold of God, if I can touch Him, if I can get this miracle, I'm going to be made whole. Diligence. And there's going to be obstacles in your life. It's like that merging on that 405 in L.A. My Lord, we're coming down a side street and there's cars all around it. Why are all these cars here? Well, a mile and a half up the road, they're trying to merge into traffic onto this 405 that they're driving like 5 miles an hour on that. Thinking, we're going to be here till next year. There's obstacles that are going to try to slow you down. There's people that are going to try to tell you no. Their experiences are going to have a hindrance on you. But you can't let that stop you. Jesus said, somebody touched me. Somebody, there's something in my life that went out. And sometimes in life, you got to grab hold to what God has for you. Hear that. You got to grab hold of what God has for you. And he says she came, the Bible says she came and fell at his feet. She was trembling. And he looked at her and he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Her diligence, her passion to push through everything that was trying to stop her. And do you know that this was the first time recorded in the scripture where he looks at her and he says to her what he hadn't said to anybody else prior. He says, "Daughter," to her. And I think that probably meant more to her than everything. Here, this woman, she didn't have anybody. Nobody liked her. Nobody loved her. And he looks at her and says, "Daughter, you're well." He said, "Be free from your suffering." What an amazing encounter. She got her deliverance because she was determined not to be defeated by the circumstances that were around her. You want to do this. You have to make this plan. I just want to tell you these four thoughts. I want you to ponder this from this story. Number one, you must make the decision that you want what he can do in your life more than what others believe what he can do in your life. You have to make that decision. You got to come to a place in your life. And I hope for some people they wait until they get middle age or even later in life. Don't wait. Make the decision. God, I want what you want for me. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go where you want me to go. Who knows what God has for you? I talked to Paulie Lemondola, and I said, man, 4 or 5 years ago, you could never believe you'd be getting on a plane going to Egypt. Paulie, the guy that sold all the drug paraphernalia to go on his first missions trip. But he made a decision. The reality of it is he may not even be alive today if he didn't make that decision. Come on, I ought to hear the biggest amen out of that sound booth. Number two, you must be diligent. You can't wait on others to receive what we need. You can't wait for others. We need others, but there comes a time when we have to press through the distractions, through our inabilities, through the lack, through the loneliness, through the hurt, through the pain, through the fear. We have to do that. You and I have to be diligent to do that. Are you listening to me tonight? Number three. Everybody say three. Let me know you're alive. You have to put his desires over your own personal agenda. You have to. Of course they're good. I wouldn't have said them if they weren't good. You have to put his desires over your own personal agenda. I wanted to be a dairy farmer. I'm telling you the truth. I wanted to be a dairy farmer. I had a man come from Cornell to our house. We had equipment. We had land. We were all set. I love the smell of cow manure and diesel fuel and dirt. And I love it. And then they said, it's not going to work. I said, God, what do you want? What do you want from me? And just keep your heart open and keep moving in that direction. And watch him unfold to you the things that he has for you. Amen. And that doesn't mean everybody's called to be a preacher. It doesn't mean everybody is called to do the same thing. Some of you have a calling on your life to do things with excellence and do them well. And I don't care if you do it individually with one person or you do it with 100. If God's called you to it, let him use you in it because you are a blessing in that area. Amen. Number four, when others say you can, don't ignore it, but examine it. Did you catch that? Instead of, I thought and prayed over that. When others say you can't, don't just stand up and say, "Bless God, I can do whatever I want to." Because maybe God has put somebody in your life to say, that might not be good right now. I'm not telling you to just let people tell you what to do, but I'm telling you, examine it. Take a moment. And when others say you can't, don't ignore it, but examine it. But after you've examined it and you get the green light, stand up and know that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Come on, do you believe God tonight for something great in your life? Let's pray together. Father, it's so good to be with your people in your house tonight, to do, Lord, your will, to accomplish your purpose and your plan. I love you, Lord. I thank you for every life here. And I pray, Lord, that for each individual that is here, in whatever area that is in the middle of their life, that they need that diligent factor. They need to be reminded of that a little bit more. I pray that you would help them with that tonight, God. I just want your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a moment. I just want you to ask the Lord, God, what is it that I just haven't been diligent about. I haven't been passionate about it. Lord, I know you're pulling me in this direction, but I haven't done it. Well, you won't have to think long if he has put something in your life and on your heart. I pray tonight, Lord, as we're pondering that, even in the midst of our whatever situation surrounds it, God, you give us the strength to move forward with it. Lord, I know for some, for husbands, wives, or spouses, it's just being more diligent in their love and their care for their spouse. Maybe for a dad to be more diligent about his home, his household. Maybe it's just, Lord, being more diligent about finding your call, your understanding what you want for us. Instead of being just a consumer, God, we're a contributor to find and to seek and to understand your will for our lives. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Your eyes are closed. Just open up your hands right on your lap like you're going to receive something. I believe the kindness of God is going to be shed abroad in your heart right now. Lord, let your love, let the fulfillment of your plan, let it come forth, I pray now. God, these that have come tonight, I pray for each one of them, Lord. They made a step. They're diligent, God. They stepped out. I pray, Lord, that tonight that they would see one more glimpse of what you have for them. Holy Spirit, do a beautiful work in every life and in every heart, I pray tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. Man, I love you. You look good. It's good to be here. I'm thankful. I feel better already. Come on, before you leave tonight, just say hi to somebody. Tell them that they mean a lot to you and to God. And I'm done a few minutes early. Just be a blessing. There might be some more coffee out there. You want to just hang around for a few minutes. For those parents that got kids next door, I know those kids aren't going to want to rush out of there because they're having a time over there tonight. So I love you so much. God bless you.